You're listening to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Bleakney, equipping the church for revival, reformation, and kingdom impact worldwide.
Hey everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. My name is Glenn Bleakney, and thank you for joining me for the Kingdom Reformation Podcast. Excited for our episode today. We're going to be talking about navigating basically spiritual abuse. How do we respond to moral failure in churches? How do we recover our faith in light of the fact that many have become disillusioned in the church, deeply hurt? And of course, there are many who still love Jesus in spite of the fact that they have been hurt. And it's not that they've turned away from the Lord, but there is this aversion or this reticence toward connecting with the church, particularly what we might classify as the institutional church. More organic expressions of church are emerging, et cetera, et cetera. And so my guest today is Shanine Clark, and she is not only herself, someone who's gone through this, and she's going to be sharing a little bit of her journey, which gives her obviously a real sense of authority in this space. But also she's someone who has an incredible ministry history and really can speak into this with knowledge and expertise. So it's an interesting thing that's been developing over these past 2 years, I would say, especially even now more than ever. Moral failures, abuse, just toxic culture in the church. How do we respond to that in a way that really helps bring healing rather than damages further? We certainly want to see people come to Christ, and we believe in the fact that we are called to gather as God's people. We are called to be in community, to be in spiritual family, but obviously that is an issue at times for us. We don't want to encourage people to be in toxic environments, places where they're going to be hurt, but the scripture nonetheless says this, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So welcome, Shanine, to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast. It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you, Glenn. It's a privilege to be on here with you, and especially on the topic we're about to discuss.
Yeah, thank you. And as was mentioned in the intro, you are an individual who actually has personally endured a level of mistreatment. I'm not sure if you would classify it as abuse, but definitely mistreatment. And you've been in that culture where you've seen, you know, manipulation and other things happen. So why don't you just share with our viewers, our listeners, a little bit about your journey, Shanine?
Well, yes, I have definitely been on a journey of recovery and restoration. And I can tell all of you that it is possible to be restored and recover. And my journey, I'm from the UK, and I was in a church for over 20 years and experienced spiritual abuse, which was mostly in misuse of authority, especially when you're involved in a celebrity culture in the church or someone who's elitism. And everyone thinks they're right and everything they say has got to be from God. So people often don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. And yes, I was exposed to spiritual abuse. In this word, it doesn't sound great. A lot of people don't like to hear that word, but it's commonly used right now in many circles, in the church, outside of the church. And I had to be honest with you, I had a very hard time with it. And it was very difficult because you lose trust in leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And definitely. Trust, that whole currency is so critical. I really believe, Shanine, that without trust, we really have no credibility in the church, regardless of how charismatic, how gifted we may be. If trust is missing, we lose our credibility. And unfortunately, it's a deep topic. I just actually did a podcast on that as part of a 21-day training event where we discuss that. So thank you for sharing. So Shanine, in regards to this whole topic about people, could be leaders, people in the church as a congregation member, staff members, even senior pastors who've gone through situations of mistreatment, abuse, the whole idea of toxic environments, et cetera. Then also the devastating patterns of moral failure that we're seeing across literally the world. It's not just something in Australia or the USA. It's happening literally in Europe, Asia, parts of the world. And how do we respond, you know, in a way that really is appropriate in light of the urgency of this crisis?
I think what we confront will die, and what we tolerate dominates. And I think this has been dominating the church culture for a number of years, and people are now beginning to confront it, just as we are having this conversation. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I think spiritual abuse is legitimate concern for the church today. It really is. And how do we respond? Well, I think the best way of responding is actually creating a church culture that is safe for a healthy church, by actually educating and bringing the awareness and empowering people for healing. I think this is really important, because we have violated grace and not used grace in these situations. So I think, yes, education is number one, and bringing an awareness of empowering people that healing is possible. That is a great response from the church today.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Thank you. So in regards to healing, we're talking about, you know, obviously the culture becoming a healthy culture, church being a healthy space. What are some things in regards to, let's just talk about healing first of all, because there's obviously individuals who have even stepped out of ministry or stopped attending church as a result of this. And we understand that, especially if it is a very toxic church and there is no change, there is no ownership and move towards creating a safe place. So let's just talk a little bit, first of all, about healing, the healing journey. What would you say to those who, you know, have been through this or currently are going through this, mistreatment, abuse, gaslighting, whatever it may be?
Well, when you're going through it and you're put on the spot in this situation, you often think, will my marriage survive? Will my children survive? Will I ever go back to church? Will I ever trust again? Will my finances survive? If you're a leader and, you know, you've lost your finances or your reputation, will I survive? And for me, I wanted to give up. And I thought, I don't think, one, I can go back to church. I'll still love God, but I don't know if I could carry on in ministry. So that was the challenge for me. But you're asking what are the ways in which we could heal? Is that right? Am I hearing you right?
Yeah.
First of all, to recognize how much damage is done and harm is done through spiritual abuse is very important. And I think that's really important. There's so much harm done in weaponizing scripture, using it to defend actions. For example, we see this is a common issue right now facing the church. Is weaponizing scripture for giving financially. If you give X amount, you'll get blessed. Or if you don't give, you'll be cursed. Of course, I know the scriptural basis of giving, but this has also been weaponized and manipulated and misused. And people have been hurt by the way the gospel, prosperity gospel, is being taught. So that's one example. I think one of the keys of, first of all, for creating a culture, a reformation in this area, is really a response to protective, preventative cultures for healing and restoration. I think we need to be protecting people and preventing this from happening. And how do you do that? Really, it's actually developing an awareness and an education to bring healing and restoration. And some of the listeners might be able to say, well, how on earth did you get through this? I mean, my situation was very liable. It was slanderous. And I was advised by many voices to take many steps. And I learned practical ways for healing and overcoming this terrible spiritual abuse. I mean, there's different types of abuse in the world, isn't there? There's so many different, but we're in the context of the church and the context of spiritual abuse, which is now spoken of widely, and we're hearing about it more and more. I think we're on a road of reformation here. We're having a great conversation to confront this, to actually not hide this issue, to bring it to the forefront. As they say in the UK, put the turkey on the table, meaning let's discuss it. Let's talk about it.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. And definitely things are being exposed. God is doing something here in the church. And I've said to many in our community, I've said, this isn't about destruction, the destruction of the church. There are some who would advocate, oh, the church in its present form and semblance needs to be, you know, deconstructed to the point that we no longer gather. And they advocate for different expressions of ministry, different models of ministry. And I don't really personally feel that's the core issue. You know, you can move away from a larger church and go into a home gathering. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm very open to that and advocate that as well. I think home church is viable. It's an opportunity. There needs to be, however, something more than that. If we just go small without being healthy, all we have is honey, I shrunk the church, you know, and we have to come to a place where we see the church become a safe place where leaders are healed and healthy as well. And so, Shanine, in terms of the church changing, we're in a season where I believe it's not destruction, but it's divine reconstruction. God is reforming, even as the name of our podcast. I know we've talked about reformation. What are some of the things you believe the Lord is up to in terms of what is he saying and what is his desire for his church, his bride? And
I think the desire for the church has always been coming together, having fellowship, seeing one another. I think that's really important, and having healthy relationships with one another. And I think what we're seeing right now is that word revival posted everywhere. Yes, there is a real revival taking place in different parts of the world, but God is certainly reviving leadership right now. And there's been so much exposure of leaders across the world, with mega churches to the smaller churches. And we're seeing this across many groups of people. But when you say, what is God doing right now? I think God is definitely realigning relationships and leadership. I think for God to get his job done, there's always a resurgence, and there's always an exposure, and there's always a heart for community. I think once we lose the heart for community, we've lost something great in our lives. And I think for listeners that feel that they cannot go back to church, I want to encourage you that the first and foremost step is to go back. And you may say, well, I can't. Well, I was there too. And I reclaimed my faith and my healing through going back to community. I think online streaming has become a very big trend. It's also working for many people who cannot travel. So, you know, there's various ways that God is moving. There is revival online. You can reach the world through the screens and touch people and see healings and see the anointing go right through the sphere, the screens, and break yokes. That is certainly happening. Deliverance is happening. And the true gospel of Christ, you know, is being reformed again, because we've lost something here in the past decade. We've sugarcoated so much that I believe that we're getting the pedigree of the gospel being reformed once again, because young people, Glenn, they want to see the truth. They want to know the truth. We know half truths now. We don't know the whole truth. People actually want to know, what is the truth? And that's what this podcast is about. What is the truth? How do we deal with hurt, bruise, pain, restoration? What is the church about? If we can't go to the church, where can we go?
Yeah. So good. Yeah. And authenticity is such a big thing, particularly, as you said, with, you know, the current generations, you know, Gen Z and, and even younger millennials, and all, even the younger generation, I'm sure, is going to be in the same way in terms of wanting the authentic. Transparency is so important. Obviously, I'm not talking about, there's things that we struggle with as leaders that we go through, you know, and it's not that we share everything publicly, but to be able to tell people, look, I've been through this, I've struggled with this, and just to be real, I think is important. But that does not mean, on the other hand, that it justifies immoral behavior, you know, that it justifies, obviously, abuse, control, manipulation, all of that, toxic cultures. Because what I'm finding, Shanine, is, as I've talked to leaders all over the world, is this whole thing about, well, this pastor, you know, he was having an illicit affair, something happened. And then often you'll find out that the culture in the church was also extremely unhealthy. There were individuals in leadership that knew certain things. I'm not saying they knew everything, but they tolerated this toxic culture. They tolerated a sense of people feeling intimidated maybe by their leaders. And so this is a big problem. And I think the Lord is really addressing it. So not just to deal with the symptoms, certainly there's a place for that, but the very root causes of all of this. So what would you say to those who maybe are leaders in the church in particular, who really want to see healthy church culture, safe spaces for people to come and connect? What are some of the very practical things even that we need to do in terms of recalibrating and building those safe spaces?
I think in terms of leadership reform, addressing this particular subject and keeping it in context of spiritual abuse, I think changes. We all know Matthew 18, you know, 15 and 17 talks about someone's wrong and go to them one-to-one, bring two or three witnesses. You know, in my case, that didn't actually happen. But that is fundamental, we know. But talking of conflict, how do we deal with that? Well, statement on how to deal with conflicts can be resolved. It can be resolved. But I think we need to look at a policy that we need to have in place of how do we deal with restoration? You know, we have a policy for a car. We have an insurance policy for the house and for various things. But, you know, as leaders going forward, we need to actually have a restoration policy. I know it sounds, you might think, oh my goodness, a policy. Yes, a policy. We need to have a team that are called peacemakers, the peacemaker team. How do we respond to victims in the church? You know, how do we reduce this, that what's going on in the board? The other thing I think is avoid minimizing what they have been told.
Wow.
And, you know, I know in leadership that they avoid truth. They don't want to share the truth. And this is why we're having so much problem in our churches today, because we are not actually speaking the truth. We've minimized it. We're defending the wrong to protect the church or the leaders. Ooh. And we're not really speaking the truth or saying the whole truth. And this is one of the problems we're having today. And I think this allowing full disclosure without feelings, that they have feeling that you have to defend the church, is dangerous. We need to allow full disclosure. What actually took place? How do we deal with this? Why are we defending something that's not right? So what do? Yes, of course, we use scripture, we use prayer. But leadership definitely needs to address this very issue of spiritual abuse. And this is very key right now, because Glenn, I am speaking to so many young people here in the UK and overseas. I've done some webinars on this subject, and the amount of young people that don't want to go back to church purely because they've been mistreated, or, you know, it's very sad. So we need to address this as leaders and put something in place that's practical and legitimate.
Yeah, it's interesting, Shanine. I read a study apparently that was done recently that said prior to the pandemic, the average person would 3 to 5 what they call touch points to be convinced to come to church. In other words, to feel safe to come to church. So what does that mean? It's like, okay, I meet someone, I talk with him, I tell them, oh, we have a wonderful church, we'd love to invite you there. Or maybe they see something on social media about this same church. And so they're now starting to think about, well, yeah, maybe I need to go back to church. Now in a post-pandemic world, and I would argue that it's not just because we're post-pandemic, but it's also in light of the current happenings, environment, the moral failures, distrust, et cetera, that people are more averse now than ever before to attend church. So they're saying now it takes the average person 12 to 15 touch points to actually come to a church, you know, to be convinced, to be feel, yeah, I need to do this. And things have really, really changed in the church. Previously, there was a lot of pressure. You need to go to church. I remember seeing a minister 2 years ago saying, and it, you know, you need to get to church. It's important. And the fact is, it was his church, of course, and he was saying, you need to get to, but the fact is we're now in a different world. We're talking about online expressions. We're looking at connecting in different ways, as I mentioned earlier, in homes, etc. And again, I'm not advocating any of these things are preferred or inherently wrong or better. But what I am saying is there needs to be a safe space, safe, healthy leaders. And as you mentioned, some of the very practical things that we can do to help people feel safe. We talk about the nuns and the duns. We're familiar with that. The nuns are those who have no religious affiliation, really. The duns are those who basically love Jesus. They have faith, but they are done with church in that sense. So what would you say to leaders specifically who are like myself and others? We're looking and reimagining the church right now. Not only do we want the church, first and foremost, definitely, it has to be a place where Jesus is Lord, people are loved and honored and deeply respected, in terms of a place where how we reimagine church to connect with those who are reticent for whatever reason to come into kind of the conventional church context.
Okay. I think when you look at the Zens and the millennials who are very engaged with authenticity is key. And I think historically speaking of leaders and pastors, they haven't always shared their weaknesses or what they struggle with or how they've overcome often. And I think the deep connection with leaders today and coming together is being so real, dealing with real issues, being honest about the bad day, that it's okay to feel bad or have a bad day. Okay, you didn't feel like coming to church. I felt the same. I didn't want to come up here and preach today. That authenticity is the deepest connection we have with our younger generation and also with the older generation who are quite fixed the way things should be done. That's a challenge in itself. But I think leaders today have to really examine, I believe, and discover the way the culture is going. I don't think we could ignore what's happening. I think the trend of this, I'm not against mega churches. I've been to a big church myself most of my life. I've been to a smaller churches. But I think if leaders can be really authentic about their own weakness, I think we're going to connect with the generation now and they will come back to church because they just, all they're seeing right now is failure, immoral decline. All they're seeing is this same old message that doesn't connect with them. So I think to be the peacemaker and the bridge that we need to cross over right now as leaders is, yeah, the revival word, we're using it. I grew up in a revivalist church. My pastor was a revivalist. I grew up very in a traditional Pentecostal church. But in the culture we're living in right now, where people are fleeing from the church, they're not engaging. Leaders need to know why they're not, how to connect again, and how to bring a real gospel that's really Jesus' gospel. Because one of the things we lack, Lynn, and this is what really breaks my heart, is we're not really seeing the authentic gospel being preached.
Okay.
And I think when we see the real Jesus gospel, because I was in a meeting, a leadership meeting, actually last week, and one of the key things that was brought up in the leadership, there were very influential leaders, and one of the professors said, we've got Jesus followers and then we've got Christians. He goes, there's a lot of Jesus followers across the world. They're encountering Christ's dreams and visions, not through church, not through necessarily someone preaching to them, but they're just having encounters. They're going online or they're having dreams. And he goes, they call themselves the Jesus followers. What church are they going to go to?
Yes.
And this is new. And I sat with this professor. I said, what? He says, this is another issue that the church needs to address. The Jesus followers. They rather call themselves the Jesus follower than I go to church, because church can be a religion.
Yes.
not necessarily a deep connection or authentic way of communication. So I think there's so many things that we need to investigate and look at case studies right now, because when I came on the program, I studied a lot on this particular subject, Glenn, and there was so much, and it took over, and I was thinking, no, I need to get this down to the basics, the crux of why I'm speaking about this, what can happen, how we recover, and how we can see a reformation in the way we're dealing with conflict. How do we resolve conflict? Sure. One of the things, Glenn, I'm passionate about is all these pastors that have fallen. Like for me, for example, I hadn't fallen, but I was misjudged and misused authority in my case.
Yeah.
I was left alone to deal with my healing. I had no accountability in the church. I was just left on my own, to my own devices, with no support whatsoever. What do we do when someone is judged or is hurting deeply because of church wounds? How do we bring healing to those leaders that have fallen and also for those that are victims of spiritual abuse? Mm-hmm. Are they left on their own? Are they banned from church?
Yes.
Are they, isolated as a result? And then this, of course, the symptoms are mental health, isolation, hurt, giving up faith, and a number of other illnesses, depression, suicide even. And I think this is something, I really love this conversation we're having, Glenn. I think you're really onto something here. This podcast, this is a conversation that needs to be addressed and confronted head on, because there's too many people out there hurting right now, especially after the pandemic. There's a lot of young people out there that need restoration right now. And even leaders that are listening, perhaps you need your own healing. And I think leadership needs to also look at their own lives and have accountability to their own personal healing. Have they been restored from past hurts and issues? That's another issue, another area. Have they recovered, or are they on the journey of recovery? Where are they?
It's so true. And it is. And, obviously being in ministry for a while and having gone through some things and seen some things, I really feel one of the great issues that's confronting us right now is the reality that there are so many people that are struggling, they're hurting, and they're not getting the ministry that they need, the love, the people even reaching out to them. But often we have our revival meetings and so on, where Jesus, if we look at his example and how he did ministry, he was always available to minister. Mm-hmm. Sure, he didn't just preach to the crowds, but he met with the woman at the well. He met with Zacchaeus and others and ministered to them very personally and very profoundly. I think this is very significant. There's been a really, it's very sad, but this whole idea of in the megachurch context, and again, I'm not saying it's wrong to pastor a megachurch or to have a megachurch or to attend a megachurch. What I'm saying is that in that megachurch, we need to make sure there's community, there's authenticity. Jesus truly is Lord, that we're living under his lordship. But there has to be a place for people to connect, to be discipled and be in community, to be cared for, to be pastoral care. And in that context of, green rooms and celebrity culture, you've already alluded to this. Often we find that there are really, unfortunately, great needs that are not being met, significant challenges people are having, and they're not being met. And I think we have to move beyond that place now where we're upfront, we're personal. I believe that's the way Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
He was with the crowd. He was with the core. He was with, the few as well, even with one at times, to bring healing and restoration, validation, just loving them and caring for them. And I think that the church is in a place right now where this is such a critical thing. And Lynn and I, we found sharing even things about, this is what we're seeing happening, mm-hmm. or, they go, oh, wow, really? That's happening? And we say, yeah. I'm not talking about revival here. I'm talking about challenges. We're navigating this challenge. There's conflict even, but we're being intentional, as you said, to bring resolution to that, not to sweep it under the carpet, under the rug, but to do that. And so I think that's critical, the time that we live in. But what would you say to, let's say, those specifically, Shanine, who've been attending great churches, they've loved the Lord, and then they've just been shaken, the whole churches right now. I mean, Lynn and I were part of two churches in the past few years, in both instances, one here in Australia and one in America. Both of the ministers had moral failures that had to do with inappropriate relationships and or other things that were happening. And what would you say to those who are navigating that, being part of that, then the disillusionment, the disappointment, the hurt and the pain? How do they carry on? How do they come out of this? Be very practical, please.
Yeah. I think that for the leaders who have fallen, if they were a leader out there and listening to this and being in this category of spiritual abuse or whatever, moral failure, it is really good to examine yourself and get accountability and seek healing so you don't stay in that state and remain stuck. Seek healing. And for those of you that have been members or attending a local church, practical ways and steps that you can take is, number one, is really call it what it is. Accept it. Stop defending spiritual abuse. Because a lot of times we feel guilty calling it spiritual abuse or saying, how can I feel like that? You know, call it what it is very important. That's number one, is acceptance. And two is forgiveness. We know the big F word is forgiveness in church. Protects your heart from bitterness, resentment, illness, and being trapped. So forgive. And third, I would say to regain trust, because trust involves healing. Yeah, if you want to be healed, you have to regain that trust. We need human beings to help restore trust. And that is built through relationships again. And often, you know, when we're hurting, we isolate ourselves. We don't want to share, or we feel guilty, or we feel ashamed, because the shaming culture of spiritual abuse, you know, it shames you. It makes you feel you've done something wrong. And reconnecting again, that trust is challenging. So regaining trust is through human beings, not through the screen. Yes, it can help online. Of course, I believe in online connection, but I think there's something to be said about face-to-face, trusting, regaining that. And number four, the step back and take counsel, get help from a trusted third party is exactly what I did. Someone who can assess the situation well, and what happened and how to deal with it. Because when I went through this, I went to two elders and who had been members of the church for 30 years. And I went to both of these people and I said, there were two men, and I said, what do I do? They assessed the situation. They looked at it from every angle possible, went to the leaders so that the leaders would sit and talk with us to address the situation. But the leaders refused to see me. The practice of Matthew 18 wasn't done, so that my wound became even deeper, because one biblical principle was denied, and the two leaders, elderly men who were mature in business and, you know, high profile, went to the leaders and it didn't happen. So trust for me was a challenge. So I had to step back and take counsel. And lastly, if you have to see a therapist, see one. There are some good Christian therapy out there. There is nothing wrong with therapy. And I think churches need to encourage therapy and reconnect again with a healthy church, because it's possible. Don't let go of the church. I've learned to reconnect. I go to a local church and it's authentic. It's real. It's not your hip church and everything happening. But I've learned to reconnect and with my local church family. And it's been quite a journey. It took me a while, but I got there. It may take some of you a while, but you choose to reconnect. Yeah. Don't isolate yourself. As Hebrews was shared at the beginning, that don't neglect the fellowship of each other. That was a really powerful scripture. And I think we need to take heed of that, because the days are dark. We're going to need one another. We cannot do this journey on our own. And don't kid yourself thinking, I can do it on my own. Because there we are. There's a scripture. Hebrews 10:25. It's a command almost. Don't neglect it. And I love it, because it says, as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near. It's very dark out there. I would really encourage you to connect, just as I've done. It was brave, but I did it. And I'm very happy with my local village church.
Right. It's very interesting, Shanine, because I'm seeing the same thing where previously it was about excellence and leadership and creating the right atmosphere and environment so that when people come in, they're, you know, they're the ooh and the ahs, and they're just amazed at how the ambience, all of that. And that's particularly, obviously, the younger generations aren't really too concerned about that and the lighting and the LED screens or whatever, how hip our preachers are, how, you know, amazing our worship is. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I'm not against it personally. But what I'm saying is we're at a time right now, I think, where the Lord is taking us back to the heart of it all. You know, that's Matt Redman, who's from the UK, where you are. He wrote that song about the heart of worship and going back to it all many years ago. But it's such a relevant song to today's current situation. And I was just reflecting this morning on Matthew 23, where Jesus talked about the Pharisees. And the thing that he really indicted them about was the fact that they were focused on the ostentatious, on the outward appearance, the facade, versus the heart, what's happening in here. And I really see the Lord is exposing the inward. Is our heart right with him? Do we have pure hearts? Do we desire to truly honor Jesus? Are we, and you know, and Psalm 24, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He has a pure heart and clean hands. So it's very, very important. Your move towards a smaller village church. Wow. That's after being in a significant large church for so many years. Yeah. Wow. That's very telling, isn't it?
it's lovely because I went to the church where the worship's perfect, everything's perfect, everyone looks perfect, everyone looks trendy, cool. And I've been in that environment and I've been a youth pastor, so I know how important it is to young people to connect with that expression of the church. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I've got to a place now in my life, I don't need all that. I need the authenticity. I need the realness, the real deeper, meaningful connection, which I have right now. And, you know, it's beautiful. I'm building. I go to a local Bible study in my village. And I've learned to accept that small is also good. And small is also healthy. Big and beautiful is not where it's always at. Yep. So, you know, sometimes the culture tells us less is more. And actually for me, right now in my season, this is working well. And you know, Glenn, we don't find community, we build community. Wow. We don't find a community, you build a community. And that's exactly what I had to learn to do, is build a new community.
Come on. So good, Shanine. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. It's
that simple connection because, you know, during these difficult times for me, and some of you may have been challenged by this, I lost a lot of friends or associates, perhaps, who judged me. That's a challenging thing because you grieve over a period of time because you're missing these relationships that you built in the church while you were there. But there was those that stayed and stood beside me and supported me, and I'm in touch with them and I've continued to build with them. So there will be people in your lives that will stand by you, and they're the ones that you have to choose to build with and a meaningful connection. And that's important. Of course, I lost a lot of relationships, I have to be honest. And I don't know, I've got to a place I don't really care what people think because God sees the heart. And that's important. You've got to allow your heart to be open to healing. And this is really crucial in this process. The heart, that's the most important thing. Not the facade of what the expression is on the outward, but the internal, not the external.
Yeah. So good, Shanine, and so true. I know throughout the years, and even recently, we made decisions to follow the Lord, and it's not resulted in what some would say, well, every step of faith you take should give you a bigger platform or a larger audience, for example. But I really don't believe that New Testament Christianity is about that. And I love the idea of what you talked about as disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus. I love that phraseology and really feel it's very important for us to focus on that, because Christianity can be more cultural, more normative, in the sense that we're really not following Jesus, but we're Christian and we get that. But there's also those who have been on the journey and now they're saying, I want to be like Jesus. You know, Luke 6:40, the pupil or the student who's been perfectly trained will be like the master. And that's really the quintessential kind of, you know, definition of what it means to be a Christian, is we're like Jesus. That has to be, I think, a big part of this reformation we're in, Shanine, is the focus towards people becoming like Jesus, not filling buildings with people, but seeing people filled with Christ. You know how Paul said, I think it's in Galatians 4:19, how he travails that Christ would be formed in you. And as a woman in birth, he travails in that place to see Christ formed in people. And I think that's a massive part of the Reformation we're in. And I know one topic, we're totally here off of script for a moment, but we discuss the whole shift of moving from leadership into the role of spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. And I'm certainly wanting to do another podcast with you where we talk about this in depth. But how does that lend itself to healing and reformation in the church right now, embracing that shift, you know, to spiritual fathers and mothers in the church, churches, a family, et cetera?
I think there's a lot of orphans spiritually in the church today. I mean, through my travel and experience traveling to Europe on a recent trip, when I say recent, I'd say it was about 4 years ago, actually. And there was 242 pastors that gathered, and they all wept and wept because the message that was shared was on the father's heart and the wounds of the father. And I think the church is quite wounded because people are looking to be fathered and mothered. And what does a true father look like? What is his behavior like? What is the mother like? And I think there's a lot of people out there today that are listening who are looking for someone like a father. I grew up in a church where my pastor was a father to me. And I felt very comfortable and safe in his hands to be authentic and real and tell him anything without being judged. And that's how a relationship is with the father, where you don't feel like you're going to be judged or condemned, but you're going to be loved, safe. And I think the expression of a true father is the unconditional love. If that comes back to our leadership, oh my goodness, the sonship and the relationship would change the church dramatically. I think we're lacking fathers today, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. And this is not a trendy little statement we're quoting here. This is a very deep statement. I saw 242 pastors coming together, crying, weeping on their knees because of the wounds of the earthly father and the spiritual fathers they were looking for. It actually changed my life and the message of fatherhood. It really did. And I'd love to talk about that, Glenn, more in detail, spiritual fatherhood and how the wounds of the earthly father can impact our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. 100%. We've got to do that for sure. What you've shared today has been very helpful, Shanine, by just being transparent, sharing about your journey, and then some very practical ways that people can, you know, recover, bounce back from church hurt, whatever it is, whether you're a leader, whether you're a congregation member, or maybe a person who's been out of church for a long time and the conventional church, you still love Jesus and you do need community. I want to say that, but not just any community, healthy community. You need to be in a place where Jesus is truly honored and Lord, and people love you and care for you because you are made in the image and likeness of God and you're valuable. And I believe, Shanine, one of the things that we've been advocating is the fact that we talk about fivefold ministry, the ascension gifts in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And there's been those who have just been so focused on that. And it's like they make that verse the main thing when it's not. The whole purpose of the a past of fivefold gifts is to see the church come to a place of manifesting and replicating the likeness of Christ. We're one body and we're Christ-like, the fullness of the stature of Christ. Then we've also got this part where every individual as a member of the body of Christ is making their contribution. There has to be healing. In fact, the word for equipping, I just want to share this with our audience. The word for equipping in Ephesians 4:12, one of the definitions of that is actually means to mend or to repair. And the idea is to bring healing to our lives as well. It's not just, so you know your gifts, you know your purpose, your calling. No, there's a place of healing and repairing. We teach on that extensively here in Kingdom Reformation. So there is that journey of being repaired, of being made whole. God wants to mend you before he can send you. And so we really believe that's a critical part of the Reformation that we're in right now. So fivefold isn't just to see revival. It's to see reformation as well, bring the right order into the church, kingdom order. And Moses prayed not only to see the glory of God, but that God would show him his ways, which that speaks about revival and reformation. So Shanin, just in our final comments here and hearing from you in particular, you are active in ministry. You've been doing that for years. Tell us a little bit about your ministry and how people can connect with you specifically.
Well, you can go on my website, shaninclark.com, on Instagram, Shanin Clark, and Facebook page, again, my name. I'd been in ministry. I started, my first sermon was at the age of 16. So I became a youth pastor from a very young age and got involved with young people because I love seeing young people fulfill their potential and to fulfill their dreams, overcome limitations of culture, whatever defines them, the setbacks. And so I love that. Oh, so now I am now traveling internationally. I speak across Europe. In fact, we just had a huge meeting in Italy with 2,600 people in a stadium. It was a revival meeting to gather all the churches together in Italy, in Milan. And that was quite incredible to see restoration of the church, really, because it was churches coming together, leaders coming together for one goal. So I'm traveling a lot. I teach. I've had a TV program on leadership on TBN UK, and you can watch that on YouTube. Equipping Leaders, Fit for Purpose, it's called. And I travel. I travel teaching. I travel preaching. And I love what I do. And I've been doing it for 30 years. Yeah. And I've got so much experience. I feel like an old bat sometimes. Yeah. But I feel renewed with energy in this generation. And I'm ready to see reformation, restoration it for our church, this generation. And I'm excited. I was tired, but I waited on God and he's really renewed my strength, Glenn. So those of you listening out there want to connect with me, jump on my Instagram or go on the website and you can read more about me, what I'm about. I'm not the best of talking about myself. I've also done Ritz Teas, which I'm really really known for in the UK, which is for business people, inviting influential speakers such as Sherry Blair, who's a former Prime Minister's wife, chaplain to the Queen and MPs. And what the purpose for that was to connect the business world outside of the church worlds, bring a transformation testimony, bring a keynote speaker, and reach the marketplace that God is also in the business world, not just in church.
Thank you so much for being our guest today on the Kingdom Reformation podcast. And thank you everyone for listening, watching, being part of this today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless. Hey everyone, Glenn Blakeney here. Are you passionate about revival and reformation? Do you want to deepen your understanding of fivefold ministry and how to advance the kingdom in every sphere of life, including the marketplace? Well, then join the Kingdom Reformation Leaders Community today. We offer a free subscription to get you started, as well as a monthly plan that provides valuable content and insights. For those seeking even more, our Leaders Plan includes all-inclusive access to a wealth of resources focused on church leadership, apostolic movements, prophetic ministry, and much more. You can engage in live sessions and discussions that explore how to effectively implement these principles in your life and community. With our monthly leaders training featuring esteemed kingdom leaders from around the globe, you'll be equipped to make a transformative impact. Don't miss this chance to grow in your calling and to contribute to the movement of revival and reformation, advancing the kingdom of God to cities and nations. Sign up for the Leaders Plan or any other subscription at kingdomreformation.org today.